Now, while this is loading, I will make available, I have about 15 copies of this piece that Suzanne raised earlier, and it is a summary of a meeting that occurred in the Felicia Stewart Center at AHP's office in May of this year that was a group of people attempting, they were donors, they were researchers, social scientists, clinical scientists, advocates, provider group representatives, that's neat. Trying to come up with a way to frame this so that it made sense and that it wasn't just a chaotic pipe dream. And I think they did a great job. Basically, at the end of this 1.5-day meeting, there was a great plan to develop two tracks. There were two working groups developed to develop two types of target product profiles. And I'll explain that in a minute, but I just wanted you to know that's what this is about. So this pathway, most of these products have yet to be developed. Yes, we'll use product in the larger sense of the word. It's not, you know, it's all technology, new technologies, maybe combined existing technologies with new ones. You've seen this before, that those overlapping areas, all three, the main one in the center and the other two are the areas that we're targeting. So this think tank that I just talked about basically came up with, after meeting and discussing for quite some time with very good evidence-based presentations from all perspectives, a pathway to moving forward. And there were two working groups established. One that was to pursue the idea of what does a perfect, most useful product look like that can be used in the developing world, the developed world, that is a combination somehow that that attacks two out of three of the following: unintended pregnancy, HIV, and STIs. And then there's, because it is so different, the vaccines world is another world, but it's very important that that world be part of this equation. And that's another one of these silos that's important for us to overcome. Well, the vaccines world is very technical, and they have developed the HPV vaccine. They're working very hard in the HIV, et cetera. But there are no multipurpose vaccines, and there are a lot in the pipelines. They call them multivalent vaccines, and that's what we're looking for. So the vaccine people are working with the rest of the folks, but in their own working groups, since they know that stuff. One important piece, and we heard such a major, important, and meaningful example of the real people who this is for from SAMHSA. If you take a step back and make it a little bit more technical, here's what we're looking at. We're looking at populations who are perceived as having these three primary risks in any combination. We're looking at most ages, but primarily teens and young women and folks with multiple partners, but also single partners. And then in terms of geography, which is also a type of demographic, it's all over the world. So going back to Samu's point, you know, the need is very strong and varies greatly from region to region and locality to locality. If you're worried about food, it's so much harder to think about the luxury of pregnancy prevention. So, but in the U.S., I mean, it's, you know, we're like, okay, show me the options and we can make those decisions. So it's a really different environment, but all are important and need to be attacked in this effort. A TPP, Target Product Profile, basically takes into account all of these issues. And if you can just picture a huge, ridiculous grid, all of these factors are tracked by these working groups. For each potential, even wildly crazy future technology, and to come up with a recommendation. And you can see them here, but you know, all of these parameters and criteria are examined for each potential TPP. So, moving on, this target private product profile group was charged with doing that. Oh my God. So you don't ever want to see this, I have to tell you, but there's so much time in wrangling right now and for the past 6 months going over this with every possible current and future and imagined product. So what we want to do is, what form gives you the most efficacy for pregnancy prevention, and what side effects do you want to reduce, and what are the contraindications that might overlap, and you know, this gets back to complexity. So you don't need to know this. You just need to know that a lot of people, are, your friends, are sitting down and working this through so that they can come up with recommendations to some of the major foundations and government agencies who are interested in funding this work. So I would ask you, if you would, there are three templates right now that are active and open. And if you write down this email, jmanning@usaid.gov, go ahead and write it down and send her an email saying that you heard about this at the APHA meeting, and you would like her to email the template for any of these three items. If you're interested, she could really use your feedback, even if it's just you forgot to include age-related differences, or you forgot to include cultural profiling or whatever. This is going to be a template, a huge template that's going to be used for the next 20 years to develop this stuff. So, and you know that USAID is a major funder of this effort. It's proudly, as our friend Judy Manning, whose email that is, says, you know, it's proudly supported by the citizens of the United States to move this forward. So please, give Judy your input, and she'll happily email you, and she's very quick to respond. She'll email you information about this. So there's, I'm going to ask you if you have any clarifying questions about this. My main purpose in bringing this up is just so you know it's happening, to ask for your involvement if you're interested, and to know that there is a very thoughtful pathway in place already that is happening to take some of the complexity out of this issue and to help us move forward, because this is very promising. And I have to tell you, and we're going to talk a lot about the microbicides experience, all of us have been involved in it, there were some great things about it and there were some frustrations about that whole process, and there are many folks, including the providers in my group, who kind of feel over it a little bit. And you don't need to be. This is a good next step that takes the lessons learned from all that work on microbicides and makes lemonade. And it's a good thing to do. So if there are no clarifying questions, I'm going to, just before Heather speaks, I'm going to go around and pass out these 15 copies if you'd like them. I know there are more than 15 folks in here. And you can email me for additional copies, or go to the CAMI or the AHP website, which I'll be happy to give you, to get this full report, which is very actually quite interesting. So that's it for my part, and I'd like to introduce Heather Boonstra. Now, Heather. Heather is the go-to person here in D.C., particularly, for the translation of good clinical science and good social science into action. Her brain, she has the best brain in town. I mean, it's pretty amazing. When you talk to Heather, she will take complicated issues and come out with a plan of action that is just on target every time, and it's impressive. So I'm sorry, I resist calling you as much as I should, because I know that everybody does. Heather Boonstra, she's Senior Public Policy Associate at the Guttmacher Institute. Excellent, excellent resource for social research and for policy activity. So I hope you spent some time on their site. She has specialized in her time there and continues to on the linkages between HIV and family planning, adolescent health, abortion, other reproductive health issues. So you can see how she's positioned with a policy mind perfectly in this arena, because one of the issues we will have to address with MPTs is, how do you help people become aware of this? How do we help this make sense? How do we have go-no-go points that make sense in terms of raising awareness issues and things like that? She received a master's in religion and medical ethics from Yale, and the ethics part is what shines through, I have to tell you. And she's going to tell us a little bit about the translation of the science into policy. What does it look like? What might it look like? Some open questions and suggestions. In keeping with that type of issue, she doesn't have slides. So she's going to get up and talk and let you know her thoughts, and she will need some feedback from you about this, because this type of topic is always open. So Heather, with that, let me bring you to the stage, and let's hear about MPTs and policy.
Well, thank you very much, Wayne. And thank you. I'm glad to be here today. When Wayne asked me to think about, you know, what it means to build political leadership around multipurpose technologies, it really reminded me of the work that we have been doing in the sexual and reproductive health community, thinking about movement building and what it means to garner support for the kind of issues that we work on. It's particularly important now when we see such political attacks around these issues to think about, you know, how do we sustain the sexual and reproductive health issues that we care about over the long term. And one of the things that this also reminded me of was a report I had recently read around HIV advocacy movement. And there's actually a report published called Back to Basics that looked at the early ACT UP movement and tried to tease out from that the lessons learned from HIV activists for building a movement and essentially changing how research is conducted in this country and how drugs are approved, and really garnered the widespread support that we see today for AIDS activities, especially globally. And the report identifies, as I said, several lessons learned that I thought were applicable to the multipurpose technologies area. And the conclusion is, of course, that change is possible, this kind of change, but that in order to create change, you need the focused voices of advocates that have to somehow be heard through the din of the everyday noise that we hear. You have to have individuals and organizations that must do the hard work, as Somos said, of questioning the status quo and making the case for these products. You need strong leaders in government and other organizations that pave the path and really prepare us to stay the course over the long haul with something like product development. And you also need specific strategies with clear goals that must be established in order to hold leaders and organizations accountable to their actions. So in the next few minutes, I'll go over three areas in particular. One is the need to get attention of people. One is the need for knowledge and solutions that are very specific. And the third area is the need for leadership. So the first lesson learned from the AIDS activists was the need to get people's attention. And of course, one of the things that, you know, if you think of ACT UP and other organizations like that, you think, here in the United States anyway, you think of the demonstrations that took place in the 1980s and 1990s that really got the nation's attention around the AIDS epidemic. And this was even a form of civil disobedience that, you know, is in the tradition of the Occupy Wall Street of today. They really emphasized the need to bring to the debate the point of view of those affected by HIV/AIDS. And so the messages were not only delivered by organizations themselves, by executives and scientists, but also by the patients, those who were HIV positive, demonstrating and saying, we need some solutions. And of course, we may not be able to or even want to replicate this kind of civil disobedience, but it is true that it's impossible to move anyone to action without first getting their attention. And so that is in part why we are here today, you know, with this panel. It's really to raise awareness around the need for these products that address interconnected problems of unintended pregnancy and disease, and the need to bring women's voices more to the forefront, because women worry about both pregnancy, unintended pregnancy, and disease. And we have to think about what are the products and the product profiles that will address women's needs and what are the kind of methods that they want. Of course, you know, we've already gone over, you know, the fact that HIV remains, you know, one of the most serious and challenging sexual and reproductive health issues. And levels of unintended pregnancy remain stubbornly high throughout the world. Worldwide, there are about 215 million women who say they do not want to become pregnant either soon or ever again, but are not using methods of contraception. And those 200-some million account for about 80% of unintended pregnancies worldwide. The Guttmacher Institute did take a look at why it is that women who are at risk of unintended pregnancies are not using contraceptives. And this was published in a report on contraceptive technologies. And we looked at data from Sub-Saharan Africa, South Central Asia, and Southeast Asia. And there we found that the majority of women express concerns around the methods themselves. And so they talk about, this is actually 7 of 10 women within these surveys, talked about concerns around health effects and side effects, health risks and side effects of contraceptive methods. Many believe that they are at low risk of pregnancy. Perhaps they are not having sex very often and don't feel like they need to be on a contraceptive on a regular basis. Many are postpartum or breastfeeding and don't feel that they're at risk of pregnancy. And others also have partners that oppose their use of contraceptive methods. Therefore, the report that we put together talked about short-term solutions to this, but over the long term, greater investment is needed in the kind of work that we're talking about today, about the need to discover and develop what they call dual protection or multi-purpose methods that can be used to address the demand, do not cause systematic side effects, and do not necessarily require their partner to participate in order for them to use the product. So the second area I want to touch on is knowledge and solutions, because HIV/AIDS activists not only got the attention of people, but then they had done their homework enough so that they knew what to ask for when they got people's attention. And they showed us that it's very critical to be part of the discussion and to understand the science in this area, to understand the research process, and to know the political system in order to be able to achieve your goals. And looking ahead then, we as, you know, those who care about multipurpose technologies need to be specific about our strategies and have very clear goals in order to keep people accountable to, you know, whether or not we've reached those goals. So later this week, as you've already heard, this multipurpose technology conference symposium will be happening that will be a group of scientists and advocates and providers and others gathered together in order to think about what are the opportunities in this area. And certainly this is important work in order to identify where the gaps are and then develop a plan for how to fill those gaps. And certainly this target product profiles is very much part of that enterprise. It's important as we come out of this symposium that we really set up some benchmarks for ourselves in order to be able to measure success and also to be able to come back later to see what we have achieved. So the third area is in the area of leadership, because AIDS activists showed us that leadership at all levels, whether it's from the White House, in industry, in federal agencies, as well as leaders in the movement itself, are all important part of moving an agenda forward. And today's reality is that we have a very good opportunity within the Obama administration itself. The administration recently announced the Global Health Initiative in 2009. And this is a 6-year, $63 billion effort that is really a framework, I think, for promoting multipurpose technologies. Because what the Global Health Initiative does is it really sets up a kind of business plan or vision for bringing together the different silos of global health activities into what they call a comprehensive whole-of-government approach to global health and a blueprint for integration and linkages between all these different areas. And certainly HIV and family planning are pillars of the Global Health Initiative, and it's an acknowledgement that there's been too little integration and cross-disciplinary activity in the past, and it's really an attempt to coordinate those services across the board. And Hillary Clinton, when she was speaking about the Global Health Initiative in 2010, explained that we are shifting our focus from solving problems one at a time to serving people by considering more fully the circumstances of their lives and ensuring that they get the care they need most over the course of their lifetimes. And certainly this is the vision of what we're trying to achieve in part with the development of new technologies like multipurpose technologies. And it's up to us as advocates to bring attention to the need for those products, to be informed of what some real solutions are, to inspire our leaders to stay the course over what will be decades, and also hold our leaders accountable for over that time period and going forward. So thank you, and I look forward to the conversation.